It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Jones Zone. How does it feel to be interrupted when you're trying to do your job? It doesn't feel good, does it?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So
I can tell you guys are brothers already.
Yeah, he interrupts me every single episode, Aaron, and it makes me just, I love him, but sometimes he just wants to smack your brother around a little bit.
Normally I do the countdown, but Brian, since he's got such a strong connection with you, insisted that
I wanted to do the intro because I wanted you to get the proper intro. Chris, anyways, today's guest is Aaron James, founder of Six Figure Host, where he teaches aspiring and savvy real estate investors how to make passive income with Airbnb properties you don't own. Aaron, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Chris, for having me.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? Good. Excited to hear what you have to say, man. This has been a hot topic for us all week.
It has.
And I don't know what I'm going to say, so I'm just as excited to hear what's going to come out of my own mouth.
Awesome. Yeah, so I posted a Facebook status a few days ago after we got off the phone and telling people about the podcast coming up and how they can, get started with Airbnb and investing, arbitrage, whatever you want to call it. But I gave you a brief introduction, Aaron, and why don't you just tell us a quick, introduction about yourself, what got you in the business, and a little backstory.
Yeah, man. And again, thanks for having me. I'm honored and humbled to be here with you and all of your listeners. I heard this is an incredible podcast, so I want to say hi to everybody that's listening in. And I guess the one thing that I wanted everybody to know about me is that this was not the plan. I know many real estate investors, they've been thinking about being in real estate for a while, right? For me, it was because of a girl. And there are many things in my life that start with that story, right? This is a very positive one, and I want to share it with you. A couple of years ago, I started dating a girl, and we were long distance from each other. I was living in Austin, Texas at the time. She was living in Denver, Colorado.
Hey, keep Austin weird.
Jeez, man, that is a long ways.
Keep Austin, it is very weird.
Yeah,
we don't have to keep it that way.
Yeah,
it just,
that's a saying they say, hey, keep Austin weird.
It's natural, and that drew me to it, right? I'm as much as I try to be out in the public when I'm doing business, I'm very much an introvert. So I love being in those kind of settings where I can just kind of sit back in the crowd and nobody knows who I am. But anyway, so I'm in Austin at the time, and I'm way against dating long distance. I'm way against dating somebody that has a child already. Somehow, they say, if you want to make God laugh, you tell him what your plans are, right? So now this girl's in my life, and we're trying to find a way to see each other more often. And a buddy of mine that was living in my apartment building, I had this plush pad in Austin, Texas, right outside of Rainy Street. So it's this a very exciting area, happening area of Austin. He says, look, why don't you, if you're going to be gone so much, why don't you just put your apartment on Airbnb? And at the time, I didn't think that was possible, right? So I think most people that get into real estate, they think that they have to own the properties. And I quickly found out that that wasn't the case. And I found out that as long as you follow the rules, there are ways for you to do what we now term arbitrage with Airbnb properties. So you can just rent a property and then put it on the marketplace and try to make some money. And I started to do that. And Brian, Chris, I'm talking first couple of months, 3, 4, 5, 8, maybe even 10,000 was my top month. And I wasn't even putting on my property on there full time because I was living in it, right? So this was just when I would be gone. And so of course I start thinking, well, maybe I should just be gone more often because if I'm gone, I can rent this property out. And one thing led to another. I got one property that started to go really well. And I got a second property in the building. We got a couple of properties in that building. Then we started to scale out. And so at the time, I also owned a finance company, and I had a lot of my clients that were trying to figure out how to create some income on the side while they were still working on their passion. And so I started teaching this program to them, and then I realized, people are digging this. People want to know about Airbnb, right? They're hearing about it. They're staying in these Airbnb properties. Now they want to figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we created Six Figure Host. And it's been amazing ever since then. I'm truly blessed to be in this. My wife reminds me every day. And we did end up getting married. Okay, so that was a good story. Mm-hmm. She reminds me every day that I wouldn't have this business or anything if it wasn't for her. So
yes,
there you have it. So, I don't know if you guys are married, but you could probably understand where that's coming
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. So you said in the first, what, you said in the first 3 months that you were
no,
starting?
No, I mean, it was right away. Like,
it was right away?
I can't remember. I didn't start at the beginning of the month, so that's why I said the first couple of months. But, I mean, all of the months started to be, and those were that was revenue. That wasn't profit. Yeah. But we, on average, probably averaged between $2,000 and $4,000 per month of profit yeah. for each property that we have.
So is that a lot of it depending on the market? Because I would imagine Austin has a yeah. very big market in the housing community and tourists and everything.
Lots of variables. And that's one of the things, Brian, why I suggest the arbitrage model. Because as you know, the environment can change so frequently. I got a buddy of mine who built a big business out in San Diego, and they just recently had some regulations that just shut the whole STR business down in San Diego. So if you
what's
buy
STR?
A property,
yeah.
now you're,
what's that? Yeah, let's take a step back. What's STR real fast?
Oh, I'm sorry, short-term rental. Sorry, I'm a little excited over yeah. here today. short-term rental is just it's another word for any stay that is less than 30 days. Mm. So they kind of break it down like that. So if you're doing Airbnb, obviously most of your guests are staying maybe for a weekend or maybe for a week. But they're not inhabiting your property for months and months and months at a time. That would be considered more long-term rentals. So the traditional, let's say you own an apartment or you guys listening in own an apartment, you're traditionally looking for a long-term tenant, right? Somebody that's going to sign a six-month lease or a 12-month lease. But the money is in these short-term rentals because you can charge a per-night rate the same way the hotels do. And as you mentioned before, the environment makes it as such where if the demand is there, you can make a lot of money. I mean, there are many times when we got $800-$900 a night for a one-bedroom apartment in Austin.
So are you – okay, so we'll get into this further on, but this is interesting because – are you okay, so I'll take a step back or forward. Somebody like Chris and I, we're trying to get in this Airbnb arbitrage, okay? Mm-hmm. What if we go – are we allowed to go into other states, other markets, get an apartment? Someone that's a hot market, we know that tourists are going to go there. Walk us through.
Well, yeah, and I would say that's the smart thing to do. Actually, I live in Denver, okay? So I won the girl, but she won the location,
yeah.
right? So now I'm out here in Denver. It snowed the other day, by the way. Horrible October snow.
I have a friend up there. Yeah, I heard yeah. about that. Yeah.
Ridiculous. And now it's like 50 degrees and sunny outside today. I can't figure it out. I got a skull cap on when I go outside, and I got shorts and swim shorts. You know, it's you never know what you get out here. But I actually encourage you to step outside, and that's part of what we teach in the Six Figure Host course is the scaling as such to get to a six-figure income, but also the ability to expand nationwide. Mm. And the reason for that, do you want me to tell the reasons why that? Or you
yeah,
just
go
like,
ahead, yeah.
Think of it like this. We've got a lot of hurricanes that have been happening recently, mm-hmm. right? Katrina is probably the one that has the biggest name, and people remember back when Katrina hit. My question to all of these investors on listening in is, what happens if all of your business is in New Orleans when Katrina hits?
Yeah, you're
see, because nobody's coming to stay in an Airbnb while there's flooding going on, right. while there's no electricity, right? Shut your whole business down. Knoxville, Tennessee, they had the fires out in the Smoky Mountains. People will cancel their vacations if their vacation sends them into, you know, a war zone of bad weather.
Not a good vacation.
And so, what's that?
So that's not a good vacation.
No, it's not. It's not. And even in Austin, you know, this past year with the floods, we didn't get any of the bad stuff, but we did get some flooding that started to creep up from Houston and some massive rain. And there were people that were saying, hey, listen, you know, I can't get out. Like, I want to fly into town, but they've canceled all the flights out. I have to cancel my reservation. So the idea is, if you're doing this for a living and if you want it to be passive, you certainly want to be a little bit diversified with where your properties are. I don't have any properties where I live currently. And that should be a hint that this is very passive and it can be done and set up the right way where you can be. Where are you guys? You're in South Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're in Charlotte, or just south of Charlotte, on the border of North and South Carolina.
Yep. You can have properties anywhere that you like to travel, anywhere that you think are great destinations. And we show you a system on how you can set it all up and still run it on autopilot.
So the system is what's key here, because you don't want to just hop into it not knowing what to do. So following the system that you provide, that's a proven model, a proven method, definitely the way to go there.
Anything that's worth something should have a system,
right?
Everybody's. I learned this a long time ago. I used to be real heavy into network marketing, and they would say, it's great if you're a great salesperson, but if it can't duplicate, then you've got some issues, right? Because if you can't duplicate it, then there's no passivity to it. You're always out there running.
And it becomes a job. It becomes a job. Yeah. The job that you most likely hate.
And, you know, Robert Kiyosaki talks very clearly about understanding the difference between owning your own job and actually owning a business that pays you without your efforts.
Right. Cool. So the first step, actually, we got a webinar coming up soon at the end of this podcast. When we launch this podcast, we're going to put a link in the bottom. But that you can check it out. So, Aaron, why would what's the difference between Airbnb versus traditional real estate investing? Or why would somebody choose Airbnb versus the traditional route, buying, fixing it, flipping, and everything like that?
Well, there's probably a bunch of different reasons. And you could talk to investors that are big wholesalers or big flippers, and they will tell you that that's the only thing that they want to do. One of the things that attracted me to this, because you got to remember, for me, again, I was not trying to start a real estate business.
Right.
This just kind of fell into my lap. And had it been something that was taking so much of my time, I probably would have never kept going with this thing. But the time is probably the biggest thing. Like, if people are really searching for something that could be passive, this would be a better play, in my opinion, than spending time doing remodels and flips and things of that nature. I even hear a lot of stuff that's out there these days where people are saying, you know, you can flip a property that you never actually acquire. I don't know enough about it to even talk about it on here, but the idea is it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of research. And most of your real estate investors already know that the research is the hardest part of the game, right? Finding the right property. And so to add anything else on top of that is just too much for me. I've got a 4-year-old, which I don't know if either of you guys have kids, but having a 4-year-old is like having an entire football team, right? You're constantly on the go. I very much value my time with my wife, value my time with my son, to where I don't want to be doing this stuff all the time. So for me, the ability to, you know, I still got to find the property, right? But then once I find the property, to literally just put it inside of the system and let it roll, that's what I love best about this. And the profits are just crazy. And it's more of a long-term play. I think with a lot of these transactions, people are looking at these big deals, right? They might go 60, 90 days working on a project and then hoping for, you know, a $10,000 rip or a $20,000 rip. Well, this is more consistent long-term income, right? So when I talk about making a passive six-figure income, I mean, at $2,000 to $4,000 a month profit, you only need 4 properties to be at $8,000 to $16,000 a month in profit coming in, right? 4 properties. And it comes in month after month, year after year, because people continue to go to the property month after month, year after year. So I like that ongoing part of the income as well. Imagine that's a preference, though.
Do the owners of the property know what you're doing? Are they cool with this? Or?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm too old to be sneaking around these days. And I'll tell you, that is part of the reason that there are so many regulations now in this industry, is that too many people are cutting the corners. They don't know how to get the owners to say yes, so they just try to sneak, right? And you might can get away with it once or twice, but trust me when I tell you, like at Rainy Street, and I'm just using this one because we talked about it in the opening. I normally don't even talk about where my properties are because you know, I can change them from time to time. I don't want people saying, oh, AJ said you need to go to, you know, to Austin, you know, and you'll for sure win there. But in Rainy Street, I mean, it's, you've got the University of Texas that's right there. So it's a college town, right? It's a huge music scene. It's the live music capital of the world. Yeah. And you're right there on Entertainment Row, okay? What do you think you get in terms of your guests in a place like that? You can get a lot of young people that are there for bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, right? Weddings or whatever. They're coming into town to party for the weekend. And what happens sometimes when these people party? Sometimes they may be a little loud. You cannot hide this stuff from your owners. They will find out. And the whole beauty of it is that if you know the right things to say, and this took me a while to get to this point, but it would be advantageous to an owner to have somebody like me in their property as opposed to a long-term renter. So once I can convince them that they're better off with me than on their own.
What would you do? What do you say to these owners to convince them that?
Oh, well, I can't give you all my secrets right now, but I can tell you, we talk all about it in the course. As a matter of fact, that's one of the add-ons that I just recently put together with some scripts so that it's turnkey, right? You can pick it up and go. But think about it just in terms of what an owner is looking for. One, most of the time an owner will say no to you. It's because they're afraid of this notion of, oh, there's going to be all these people coming in and out of my property. They're going to mess up my property. or maybe they're concerned that they don't want to be liable for what's going on there. So I'll tell you the biggest thing that we figured out with them is just to help them understand that we're going to take care of their property much better than a long-term tenant. And here's what I mean by that, Brian. Think back to a time where you, either one of you guys had a place that you were renting, okay? You're there for 12 months. What do you do to the walls? You probably hang up your favorite pictures, right? Maybe if you're a smoker, you guys smoke inside the house, right? Maybe you have a new puppy that's chewing up the baseboards. I doubt that most people that are long-term tenants have a cleaning crew come in and do the carpets aside from when they're moving out, right? You're supposed to do a move-out clean. With us, it's so different. One, you're not going to be in my property long enough for you to hang up pictures, right? So my walls are still intact. I've got strict no smoking policies that will hurt your wallet if you violate them. I've got strict no pets policies, so nobody's coming in with an untrained dog chewing up the baseboards or messing that stuff up. I've got strict no party policies so that you know that your place is taken care of. And oh, by the way, for me, because my guest is checking out on Monday, I have to have my clean crew in there to turn that property back so that it's ready for the next guest to check in so they can get the same experience that the last guest had. So instead of you getting one clean a year, I've got cleaning crews that are coming in professionally cleaning this place 2, 3, 4 times a week. That's so I'm going to give that property back to the landlord in way better condition than they probably even gave it to me.
Awesome. That's a good pitch.
Can you do all this?
That's just one area of it. Yeah. Right? But that's the biggest thing, you know. WIIFM, they're always, what's in it for me, right? Why would I do this? One, you got to realize that these landlords, the reason that they want a renter in there is because they do want some consistent, recurring, timely monthly income. And I can give it to them. I'm a good tenant, right? I'm making way more money a month than what I have to pay out to this tenant. To the landlord. So he's got his money, he's got the property taken care of. You help him to see that. And again, that's the hardest part, is just breaking down that notion in their mind about we're going to damage their property. And then they're ready to go.
What are some mistakes that you made when you first got started?
All of them. All of them. You learn as you go. With Airbnb, one of the things that I learned early on was that you can actually be a little bit selective about who you have staying at your property. when you're doing it to pay a bill or something like that, you almost want to let anybody stay, right?
Acting out of scarcity, yeah.
Yeah, as long as they've got the money, cool, you can stay. Mm-hmm. But you can set parameters so that you only get certain types of people. For instance, if I'm in a really nice building, or maybe I'm close to a convention center, huge opportunity, right? You got business people that are flying in all the time for stuff at those conventions. And typically, their company is paying for it, right? So I can get a much more buttoned-up quality guest that maybe I don't have as many issues to deal with as others. So that's one thing, is to realize that you can be a little bit choosy about who you have. One of the biggest mistakes I made, and this was actually not with Airbnb, it was with HomeAway, was I didn't have my own contract. So with these short-term rental sites like Airbnb, VRBO, HomeAway, when they sign up, they're typically signing up based on whatever Airbnb's blanket policies or rules are. But now I actually have them sign my own rules so that I don't have to deal with any of the issues or the drama trying to get Airbnb to come in and enforce something. So we've got their credit cards. We can ding them if they mess up. We don't have to deal with all the additional drama. With HomeAway, I had a person stay in one of my apartments. He stayed there for me like 5 days, and then afterwards called his credit card company and said that he didn't stay.
Oh, geez.
And I got this huge charge back, and I wasn't prepared for it because, you know, I didn't have my own contract in place. And the thing was, we had all the rest of the proof that you would need. Like, we have Ring doorbell cameras on the front of our properties. We don't invade people's property privacy when they're inside, but we like to be able to see who's coming and going into our properties. He's all over my camera, right? And when he checked in, he even had a hard time. So I'm talking to him through the camera. And still, I sent all the information into HomeAway, and they said, sorry, we can't help you. We don't take video proof as evidence. I'm like, what? What better evidence is there than video proof? So that's how I learned a lesson about the contracts. Listen, people will be people. The people that are on your podcast right now already understand this, the risk of being involved in real estate. People will still be people. But there are ways that you can protect yourself so that this is fun, and so that you can make a lot of money, and so that you can really spend your time doing other stuff because it's on autopilot. I wouldn't say 100% of what we do is on autopilot, but probably 90%.
Yeah.
My wife and I went to Turks and Caicos in June of this past year. And I remember opening the door, as a guest was having a hard time with the automated locks. I remember opening the doors of the apartment so that she could get in while I'm at the mini bar, the swim up bar in the pool in the middle of Turks and Caicos, right? How cool is that?
That's crazy.
Where you're not stuck in an office,
yeah,
and you're still building a massive business that's paying you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month, no matter what.
That's amazing. That's the type of life that our audience, like our listeners, really aiming for, that type of lifestyle. This sounds like a great vehicle to provide that.
Man, forget them. I want in.
I know. Seriously.
Well, come on, man.
Hey, is this a long term? Do you think this is sustainable? Or like, what's the future of Airbnb versus like someone that's, you know, owns the property and is renting it out to a long term tenant? I mean, is this something that you foresee is going to stick around for a long time?
It's a great question, Chris.
I don't know
100% an answer one way or another, but here's what I will tell you. To take a look at Airbnb, you really ought to take a look at the entire industry. And this is a phenomenon that's kind of spread everywhere. It's called the shared economy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'd encourage any of your listeners that have this same kind of question to do some research on the shared economy, because it's essentially changing the way that our economy is working in our country, where we're going from strictly changing hands, you know, goods and services for dollars, to now the individuals are acting as the conduit, providing access to their own assets.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? Another industry, part of the shared economy, Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So if I asked you, you think Uber's going anywhere anytime soon, you would say, heck no, right? Yeah. Completely paradigm shift for the transportation industry, right? You can't find a taxi these days. Craigslist, Udemy, all of these online platforms, these are all new. They're part of the shared economy where somebody could go online and say, hey, look, you know, I can come mow your lawn instead of you having to call and find a landscaping company to come do it. So in general, the Airbnb industry is going to be around, I assume, forever, because it's changing the way people stay. You no longer have to stay in a hotel and spend $200 a night and still have to go downstairs or call room service every time you want to eat. Whereas now, for less or maybe even the same amount of money, you can stay in my one-bedroom apartment where I've got a full kitchen. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be there for a week, you can save a bunch of money by hitting up the grocery store mm-hmm. and then cooking your own food, right? That comfort, that home away from home feel is what has made Airbnb so popular, so trendy. The question really becomes, in terms of individual marketplaces, what they're going to do in terms of regulations. So there are some places that have already said, nope, I know what Airbnb is and we don't want it here. There have been other places that have said, yes, I know what Airbnb is and we love it. We embrace it. And then there's other places that are still kind of up and down about it, right? You know, I don't know if we're going to allow it here. Nashville is a great example of this. I've got some properties in Nashville, and the number one thing that they are concerned about is the noise ordinances and how many people go to Nashville for these bachelorette parties and, you know, and these people are like, look, I pay all this money to stay here in this building, and there's constantly new people coming in, trashing the hallways, making noise 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And so now these city councils and stuff are starting to say, okay, wait, you know, do we really want this in our communities? Or if we do, are we going to impose some more restrictions? So I would venture to say, and again, I'm an expert in Airbnb, but I'm not an expert in the future. I would venture to say you might see more regulations, but I don't think it's going away. And regulations for people like you or for your listeners or for any students of the Six Figure Host course that are learning how to do it correctly, the regulations will actually be a good thing for you because they'll keep out the riffraff.
Yeah. That's true. How do you stay on top of what's going on with that?
Pray.
But I mean, like, does Airbnb provide some sort of resource to people that use their properties for that?
I encourage people to keep their are you talking about in terms of regulations or just...
Yeah, like, let's say you were interested in doing a property in Salt Lake City, Utah, and then, like, you sign up for this lease or whatever, and then you find out a week or two later that Salt Lake City, Utah is going to pass down
the
sanctions.
There's research that you can do, that you should do on the internet before you fall in love with the property anyway, right? It should be at the regional and then city level first before you start even looking at places, right? What's the point? Like you brought up earlier that you thought Austin was a hotbed, right? Salt Lake is a hotbed, but, you know, what's the point of getting an Airbnb in the middle of North Dakota? Who's coming there?
Right.
So you want to do that level of research before you even get to that. And there's places that you can go online.
Fisherman.
Unfortunately, what's that?
It's a fisherman.
The fisherman. Yeah. Yes, that's true. As you can see, I'm probably not a fisherman over here. But it changes so often. It really does. It's an ever-changing landscape. So there are resources that you can pull up that you can constantly see what's going on. If you do fall in love with the city or whatever, you can always, you know, call down to city hall or city council or whatever it is and talk to them and find out about any pending legislation or regulations or any town hall meetings. Airbnb will every now and then let you know about town hall meetings in the area where you might have a property so that you can go have a voice. I use a company specifically, and this is information that I share with my students inside of the course, but I use a specific company that handles all of the taxation and stuff for each of my properties, right? So part of being a short-term rental is that you still have to charge and then remit lodging tax, just the same way that the hotel industry does. So I've got a company that handles that for me, and obviously for them, it behooves them to understand what's going on in these communities. So I can just call them and say, hey, look, I'm thinking about XYZ city. What do you know? And they can tell me about any pending legislations or anything that's going on, or what one has to do to get registered for permitting to be able to do that. And it makes it pretty simple.
Cool. I know one objection that the listeners are going to have. They're going to say to themselves, self, this sounds cool. I really, you know, I would love to do this, but I just don't have the money to lease an apartment or lease a house. So I guess I'm out. What would you say to that person?
Well, first of all, I would say to them that they have to rethink being a real estate investor if that's how their mindset is about this kind of stuff. You know, I've always said that the abundance of resources that are out there, you don't want it bad enough if you shut yourself down with a statement like that. Mm-hmm. And by that, let me give you a flip side before I give you my personal solution to that. Any of your listeners on here, if I said, look, car of your dreams, I'm going to put it in your driveway tomorrow if you can come up with $5,000.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Bet you could, right? Yeah,
I'll figure it out.
Any of your listeners could, because they see the value in that car of their dreams, and they know the car of their dream is worth way more than, you know, that $5,000. So if they are trying to figure out if they want to get into this, my thing is, look, if you really want this and you see this kind of stuff, I mean, I on the webinar, I show, you know, specific stats, Brian. I think you've been through the webinar. I show, look, this is not a joke. I mean, $7,000. $20,000, $30,000 in a February, right? I think Chris has gone to go purchase my course right now. I appreciate it, Chris.
I got a stretch.
But so anyway, there's resources out there. Now, having said that, part of what we teach in our course is how you can get involved and get access to capital for your real estate ventures without using your social security number. So most times when people say they don't have money, they're not saying they don't have money. They're saying they don't have good credit, right? They can't mm-hmm. get money. They can't get a loan and so on and so forth. And my thing is that you don't want to do that anyway. And Brian, I was telling you this before, the real estate market crash of 07, 08, that shut a lot of people down that should not have been shut down mm-hmm. because they were using all of their personal assets to try to acquire more stuff. And that's one thing that I was blessed with, because I already had a company that was doing this, is understanding that if you're building a business, you need to be building it with business financing and business credit, preferably such that is not attached to your social, which means that if your business fails, you're not on the hook for it, right? But most people, when they go get a loan, the reason that they're checking your credit is because if the business goes south, they're looking to you to cover the debt. Mm-hmm. So we teach people how to get access to business credit. The bottom line, without getting too deep into that, is that no matter which way, shape, or form, you will be approved to move forward and get financing or business credit. It just depends on your current situation. So we give them the resources where they can call our team, get set up with a consultation. It's all free, and figure out, you know, if they can get access to this money. Awesome. But it's very difficult for people that have been in this situation for a while. If they're used to having bad credit, they're used to somebody telling them, oh yeah, I can get you approved. I know those other guys said that they could, right? So that's a mindset thing. So mm-hmm. that's why I say, if you're still thinking like that, maybe real estate's not for you. Maybe the job route is for you, right? But if you're going to build big, you will need access to capital. And it just so happens that I can show you how to get it if you're willing to follow through. Okay, so that's what I'd say on the financing tip. And it's a big deal. I get it.
Yeah, and the money mindset is actually, we were talking to somebody earlier today, and it's so huge. And just in entrepreneurship and business, having the mindset, because a lot of people they were raised without money, so they don't know how to treat money. They don't have a respect or a love or admiration for money. Money may be something that is a resource that the rich people have, and they're greedy. So getting in that right mindset about money, not just talking about like Airbnb rentals, but just in business and in life in general is key. And I'm still, you know, learning all that and applying that myself.
And man, look, and I tell people that even if you're not in that boat, you should not be doing this with your own funds, with your own assets. You should have business credit that you're developing that exists outside of you. And the other thing I would say too is that you got to remember that with Airbnb arbitrage, you might be talking first month's rent, you know, maybe last month's rent as a deposit, mm-hmm. and furniture, right? So it might be $5,000. It might be $10,000, depending on what kind of place. It might be even less than that. As opposed to if you wanted to buy that same property, you're talking, you know, multiple five figures just as a down payment to have a right to have a mortgage,
right.
for the next, you know, however long. And then if the regulations change and you can no longer do Airbnb there, you're still stuck with this mortgage.
Yeah.
That's why I love this Airbnb arbitrage model. As a matter of fact, this upcoming week, I'm headed out of town to go clean out a property because it's not, the area is the lease is up, okay? And they made some changes to the area that are not conducive to what I want to see in my business. So it's easy for me to just go pack up, you know, and get a moving truck and get my stuff out of there, as opposed to trying to get a realtor to put it on the market and me continuing to pay the rent until I can get it, you know, taken care of. Man. So this, if especially for newbies in real estate, it's much less risk to do arbitrage.
Absolutely. You got anything, Chris?
No, man, that was awesome.
I gotta go buy this course.
Tell people how people can get the webinar and get involved, man. So let's wrap it up.
So this.
Yeah. So I.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I put together a webinar that I did. It's a free training, and I've really delve into these topics a little bit more in detail, right? Giving you the concepts that you need to understand, that you need to learn, and of course. There are some people that will take it and they'll say, okay, great, I've got enough. I'm going to go try and do it myself. And then there's other people that are going to say, look, I don't have time. I don't want to play around. You know, I want to be a part of a group that will hold my hand and walk me through this step. I mean, inside the course, we take you from, if you were a novice, a beginner, from, you know, the first things that you need to do all the way through hosting your first guest. And then we've got ongoing community of support. So, that's what we've got available in Six Figure Host, and I know you you have a link that you want to give to them if they want to watch the webinar. Again, it's free information. You know, my mom always taught me if it's free, it's for me.
Yeah.
And there's no risk, right?
Yeah.
Take a look at it, see if it's something that you like. If it's not for you, there's plenty of other avenues in real estate. But I can tell you that when it comes to trends, there's something that I have always been on the wrong end of, right? I was like the last person on MySpace. And then by the time I got to MySpace, everybody was already over on Facebook. You know, I was a Droid user for a long time, right? You know, I was a PC user, even as a DJ, until I found out, you know, that a Mac could make your life so much easier. And so stuff like this, you know, there's a phase where people can come in and make a lot of money, you know? And then there will probably be a phase later on down the road where it's so saturated that it's not as exciting anymore. So we try to do anything that we could to get people off of the fence and into the course to get the free information to make a move. Because if you can't make a move on this stuff, you might be sitting on the sideline for a long time.
Absolutely. Yes. So I'm going to put the link in the show notes. And guys, I talk a lot about marketing on my other platforms. This is a unique opportunity. This is a blue ocean. There's opportunities to be successful in this field. And if you want to learn more, click the link below. That's going to be in the show notes. And give it a shot. Aaron James, thanks so much for coming on the Jones Zone, man.
Good to meet you.
Brian, Chris, thank you so much for having me, man. I had a blast. Hopefully you guys got some information out there. I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing. I just encourage you to keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks a lot. All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.